Hi, this is Ramona Zabriskie, and it's the holidays. It's that wonderful time of year when we get to spend more time with our families than just about any other time of the year. That's a good thing, and that can also be a complicated thing. So we are bringing back last year's episode about extended family and how to manage, get along with extended family during the holidays. Enjoy.
Bags are packed, are you ready to go? This time tomorrow we'll be on the road, riding with you in the sunnier days. I wouldn't want it any other way.
Welcome to the Wife Savers Podcast, where multi-award-winning author and global marriage educator Ramona Zabriskie provides answers to your real wife questions. Our goal is to help you appreciate your womanhood, prioritize your personal development, and craft a powerful partnership with the man in your life. Hi, I'm Hannah Allen, and I'm proud to introduce my parents, Ramona and Dale Zabriskie. And yes, this is how they talk all the time. Let's listen.
Hi, this is Dale Zabriskie. As usual, across the holiday table from Ramona Zabriskie.
Yeah, so, there's a big fat turkey.
Ho, ho,
us.
Ho. Who's the turkey? It's that time of the year where you you deal with turkeys and outlaws or in-laws type thing.
Wait, are you saying that in-laws are turkeys?
Maybe. Might identify
gobble,
a couple of
gobble,
them.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Yeah.
Well, that is a very interesting introduction.
That's right. It's that holiday season. Here we are. It has officially begun. We are post-Thanksgiving, and the Christmas music is everywhere.
It was started before Thanksgiving.
In some places it has, yeah.
Well, we can't help but equate the holidays, whether it's Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever, with family.
Yeah, it's a big family time.
They kind of go together no matter how we feel about it.
You'd like to help your family out, but you don't know how they got in. That's the problem. Let me show you the door.
Well, yeah, there you're back to the in-laws and the outlaws,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
Well, today we're going to talk about, we're going to read a question from a listener that's right up this alley. Holidays and family. It's an interesting time of year for those kind of family relationships and dynamics because we have such intense expectations for the holidays.
And concerns and fears and uncomfortableness.
Yeah. Now, I wasn't thinking that, actually.
Oh.
That's interesting. That must be a male perspective.
Yeah, it's a guy thing. It's a guy thing, yeah.
Because I've got the sugar plums dancing in my head. I got Santa coming down the chimney. This is the perfect Christmas. I always, no matter how hard I tell myself, come on, Ramona, pull back the reins. I'm still visualizing
all in.
That wonder, that miracle that's going to happen when everybody loves each other, everyone comes together, we gather on the tree, we sing a beautiful Christmas song in perfect harmony.
In your dreams, this happens. It's
then,
for the guys.
No, here's the real fantasy.
Yeah.
You're handing out the present, and the kids open their presents one by one and say, oh, it's exactly
just what
I wanted. Thank you, Mommy. Thank you, Daddy.
Right.
No, honestly, and the stockings are stuffed and with care. And
I think they're hung with care.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
They're stuffed and then hung.
Right. Yeah. Well, for guys, it's the nightmare before Christmas. It's the it's the drive and pay and, you know.
And the pressure of all those expectations.
Yeah, totally.
From their wife, right?
Yeah.
And, well, okay. I think enough said. We're going to get into this, how our expectations and our dreams and our hopes for Christmas might not be exactly in line.
Collide.
With our husbands.
How they all collide is what you're saying.
Santa makes a rough landing on
it. That's right.
Well, before we do that, though, I want to read an email. Actually, I think it was a Facebook post from a listener of last week's podcast. The story is so good. I just can't help it. She said, I really enjoyed this podcast episode because it opened my eyes to all the things my husband does, in all capital letters, does to express his appreciation for me. Now, remember what last week's episode was about?
Expressing appreciation?
Yes, that's it. Well, it was about...
Okay. I remembered.
About creating a culture of appreciation. You know, because the wife was concerned that her husband rarely, if ever, says thank you.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, story. And you know what she says? It really did make me feel more appreciated. For example, he noticed that some of my cooking and baking equipment was pretty poor, and he took it upon himself to research and buy, after my approval, of course, she puts in parentheses, some nice and much needed kitchen supplies.
Mm.
I do a lot of cooking. And in that moment, the day after listening to your podcast, that's important. The timing's everything. I felt so valued, so seen, so appreciated for the work I do every day to feed my family every meal of the day. I am so thankful that I was able to see his appreciation in his thoughtful action.
So there's two, for the guys, there's two words there. The last two words, thoughtful action.
Mm.
Because I'll bet you, and I know this is how most of us think, most of us guys, the thoughts are there.
It's connecting.
It's getting them to act.
And don't you dare blame it on your corpus callosum.
That's right. It's the corpus callosum. We're still exercising. And so it's kind of hard to put those connections together.
It's true.
But they think it. We think it. We do. We think that's really nice, or thank you, or I appreciate that. And sometimes it's buried underneath your corpus callosum, where it's a little subconscious. But the thoughts are there. It's now turning it into the action that this guy did so beautifully by being aware that things are going on, thinking about how she works in the kitchen and saying, you know, this could really help. And just did it.
And she felt so valued, so loved. But guess what? She might have missed it all together if she hadn't listened to the podcast.
That's right. Might have just,
she would have thought, well, it's about time.
That's right.
But then she saw
it. You got this. What about these over here?
She saw it in a whole new light.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
And it strengthened and bonded. Oh, I love, love, love. Okay. All right, then. Thank you for letting us know how that impacted your marriage.
Means
so much to us. You know, when we get comments like this,
keep those cards and letters coming in.
It's so true. Or the emails or the comments on social media. And of course, you can always reach us through wifesavers.org. Right there on the front page is a little box that says, Ramona, throw me a wife saver. And you can ask your question and send us comments that way. It's really easy. Wifesavers.org. But we do appreciate and enjoy them. We love the reviews and the rankings on the podcast platforms, particularly iTunes and Apple. We just can't thank you enough for that. All right. Enough of appreciation. Let's move on.
It's jingle bell time.
This week's question, Wife Savers question. Ready? What if my husband and I have different ideas about what makes the perfect Christmas?
What if?
My husband wants to stay home with just us and the children, and I want to be with all my extended family. Get this part. And we go through this every year.
Yep.
What do we have here?
We've got most people, I think.
Do you think
so? Yeah, I think there's always... you know, the quote, extended family, unquote.
They're always there.
They're always there.
Can't divorce.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those, you know, a lot of those families put the fun in dysfunctional, basically. You know, it's a crazy place.
And all families have a little crazy, though,
absolutely.
Right?
And that's good. We need a little crazy. But when the guy especially is forced to go into this environment...
Or to accept the family into his environment.
Could be coming in the other way. That's right. Yeah.
Well, we need to settle this if we're going to have a Merry Christmas.
It's about time.
If this has been going on for years,
for centuries.
Every year. Let's get this figured out once and all.
Yeah.
Once and for all. You know, it reeks of compromise.
Since it was his cave and her cave, you know, it's been going on. Dad's cave, outlaw's cave.
So. Oh, what is the cave? I don't get it.
Well, that's how long it's been. Time, you know,
oh,
caveman.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't following you.
Sorry. That was a little out of the blue.
Well, I was just about to say that it reeks of compromise, right? Right out of the gate. But I would like to say something about compromise. I don't like that word.
You don't?
No. To me, it sounds, well, guess what I'm afraid of? I shouldn't be afraid of things, but I'm afraid that when I use the word compromise in my capacity as a marriage educator, that women have a negative reaction to it in that they think of it as settling a dispute.
I gotta give something up. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
By acquiescing or making some kind of reluctant concession.
Compromise means I'm going to lose.
That I'm not going to get everything I want.
Well, right. Well, that's inherent, but it becomes a negative thing.
I think compromise in the most positive sense actually means, you know, meeting each other halfway, fairness, coming to an understanding, striking a balance, a fair give and take.
Well,
right?
I think it also means inherently that it should, let's put it that way, be the outcome be kind of positive. Okay. That's good. I can work with that. I'll move forward.
Right.
As opposed to being, well, I got to
exactly.
give up.
That's why I'm saying that reluctant concession idea, settling a dispute with a reluctant concession, that is the most negative way of looking at it. But I'm afraid that's how most of us think of compromise.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe everybody thinks of it in the positive light. But I want to suggest a higher way of approaching this.
Okay.
Rather than thinking about compromising between his idea of Christmas and her idea of Christmas, I'd like to introduce a new concept, which is an old concept. It's called accommodating. In my mind, if you describe someone as accommodating, it just means you really like them. Do you like the fact that they're willing to do things in a way that is helpful to you, right? That they want to please you. Not that they're bullied into it, not that they're manipulated into it or intimidated into it, but of their own free will, they're just eager. They're really happy to give what is needed to someone. They're helpful, obliging, easy to get along with. Cheerful, willing to make adjustments, to do a favor or extend a kindness.
Yeah, I think we use the word, when you use the word accommodations, what do you think?
Hotel.
You think of a hotel. You think of that you're going into a different environment.
Oh.
But you're being accommodated.
Like a guest.
Like a guest with things that you need and areas, space,
with
and
deference and respect.
Right,
and
whatever it is.
Even a little love.
Even a little service and love there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like the idea of accommodating is a positive action-based approach.
Right. So if they're coming head-to-head every year over this argument or this difference, right, I think it could be very helpful for her, especially since she's the one who asked the question, to try and elevate or lift her perspective a little bit. And we can do that best by first understanding him. Does she really understand? Have they really articulated why he's dragging his heels about going to Betty and Sue's house this Christmas?
Why, you know, in the letter here, why does he want to be home with the children? Is it a reason for that? Or is it an aversion to, is it to avoid going to
she may be
over the river
wrong
and through the woods?
Thing.
Right. So you may look at it as saying, well, you just don't want to go. Well, no, I want to be home.
Or it could be a mixture.
Yeah.
It could be a mixture of both. And, you know, if we're talking about compromise, there's a million creative ways to do that. We can do it every other year. And they've probably already come up with stuff like that. Or they get together with the family before the actual holiday, or they rotate holidays, Easter at there and Christmas here, you know, New Year's there, or we're going to make a big deal of it this year, but not for the next 2 years. You know, there's so many, and women, we are creative creatures. By instinct, we create. We're born to create. So we can get creative in this regard and stretch our hearts a little bit to accommodate, to incorporate his wishes and his needs too. But I want to get back to this idea of why. I'm really intrigued by what you said, that maybe it isn't about an aversion to the family. Maybe it's what? What? Give me the male perspective. Well, what are some of the reasons?
So I think in a general sense, just in a sense of life, you know, a holiday, you're looking forward to a holiday.
Right.
Okay. Here I am. I'm out pounding the pavement. I'm doing my work. And for most people, most guys, you know, the work includes other people and environments and sociality and
deadlines
and
expectations.
And often those things are very pressured. And there's a lot of pressure to perform.
Ooh, yes.
Right? And I know in my career, I spent most of my career on a stage and presenting in front of people.
Surprise.
And, yeah, I'd have to suck it up and get up. Okay, man, I really don't want to talk to this.
Oh, you have to put it on.
CIO.
Bring it on.
Yeah, it's a show, right? You put on a show. And so the holiday can be, oh, I don't have to do that. And now all of a sudden,
you can be yourself.
I can be myself
totally
in my environment, right?
In your environment.
In my my bunny slippers, if I want. And you know, whatever it is. And then... Now you're saying,
or your underwear,
or lack thereof, yes. It's like, oh, well, now I'm going into another similar environment.
Oh,
so the
with
holidays,
people, expectations,
the holidays,
pressures, you got to perform.
There's no holiday here. I'm not getting any respite here. You're just asking me to perform in a different way.
Oh, and she doesn't see it that way at all.
No, of course
she sees
not.
This loving environment.
And looking forward to this great opportunity. We haven't seen these people in so long. And then the guy's going,
to really relax.
That's why we haven't seen them in so long. Yes, you figure that out.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good.
Yeah.
What other reasons?
Well, there's the usual, I think everybody deals with this is, and you know, it's the family that puts the fun in dysfunctional. Like I said, you've got these individuals and folks that they're in your family tree, but that, you know, some people, you know,
they're way on a limb.
Yeah, exactly.
So
they,
personality.
They got into the gene pool when the lifeguard was off duty, these types of things.
Oh, you must have a million of those. You're just whipping them out. I wonder if I should be worried about that.
Yeah, we'll talk later. But
so,
you know, there's the crazy uncle and all the people that are just,
individual personalities,
right.
But family culture in general, don't you think?
Well, yeah.
And like if you have families that talk a lot and really loudly and—
You know, and I know, I have a friend that has six siblings, I think. Okay, he's got a big family.
Okay.
And they're all adults now. And, but there's an issue. There was an issue with a trust fund. Oh. That had happened years ago.
Oh, history.
Yeah, there's this great history about not happy the way this took place or that took place. And these things that when they come together, they bubble up of how I really felt at—
Or people try to cover
grandma's funeral
right.
You know, so it just can bring these things up
you're right.
That are really hard to, and you'd like to avoid. And maybe you don't really need to address it.
Right.
But some people feel like they do.
Yeah. Oh.
So it gives a stage for
that. Or they stuff it. And then there's just this unresolved tension between the personalities.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting.
And I think there's one thing that I don't know that happens a lot, but it's a fear that guys have.
Okay.
And that depends on how his wife, how she relates to her family members about him.
Ooh.
And,
have no idea how often I hear this.
All right. So,
you
know, the way she's going to talk about me to the mother-in-law, first and foremost, her mother.
Okay.
Or others. And it could be, you know, career-based, it could be children-based, yeah, it could be lots of things.
Oh, so he sees you huddling with mom or sisters or aunts, and he doesn't what know what talking you're about? Talking about.
Yeah, and especially when they glance over at you and snicker and kind of giggle. That just like, oh, whatever.
You have just painted a picture that is painful.
Yeah.
For a guy.
It is. It really is.
In
it's
that
a lot of
social
stress.
Thing. Now, I always like to, you know, leave us some wiggle
hey, not,
room.
Not to mention the traffic you got to put up with.
Oh,
if you got to go somewhere, just want to say that, you know.
You know, I just thought of something else. What if, you know, he sees the family sort of undermining his authority with the kids?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Or, you know, yeah. Oh, there is so
Those kids are in my house now, Grandpa says, or whatever. You know.
Yeah. Right. There's so many potential pitfalls. And he's logistically looking ahead. He can foresee a lot of things.
Don't want to go there.
She can too. I'm sure she's just as worried. But she does have the holiday glow and the idea of being together with family. You know what? This could be reversed totally, though.
Oh,
He may be the one who's like, and I hear this all the time, too, who's very connected with his family. He wants to be with them, and it's her that's intensely uncomfortable with the family or has a lot of reservations or maybe has some history with the family, or she's afraid that he won't be loyal to her, that he will side with his mother when it comes down to an issue of should we give the kids this treat now or later, you know.
Do you think that the women worry more about the mother-in-law than the husband worries more about the mother-in-law?
Let's take just a little breath here. And let me assure our listeners, that is worthy of a whole podcast episode.
The mother-in-law podcast. Okay.
No, seriously. I think we should do that. I've had questions. I'm sure I can pull a question about the mother-in-law relationship between a daughter-in-law and her mother-in-law. Very complex. So,
But do you think it's more, generally speaking, is there more emotion? Maybe that's not the right, emotion's not the right word, but is there more drama in the wife dealing with his mother than the husband dealing with her mother?
I don't know.
Okay.
I can't give you any statistics on that. That's all I'm saying. I know what I see on TV.
Well, I saw it on TV. Oh, and that's another type of person you want to avoid at the holidays, the conspiracy theorist that is in the family. And maybe you're Democrats and Republicans.
What is that,
you know?
What is that character in SNL? Betty Downer?
Debbie Downer.
Debbie Downer. No matter what you say, in that family setting, she's going to pull it down with something. Anyway, well, there's all kinds of people in the world, right? And a lot of, and they're all in our family, it seems like.
Most of them are represented in our
So we got to get, I think we've identified what might, some of the dynamics going on, but what can we do?
Yeah.
What do we actually do about it? Okay, I have a word to the wives.
Not the wise, but the wives.
The wise wives.
Okay.
Right? Here, listen to this, ladies. You've got to check your expectations.
At which door? As you're going out the door or in the door?
Both. Okay. Both. Are they reasonable? Are your ideas of this grandiose Christmas that's, you know, full of love? And yes, that's an ideal that's ideal. And
we should shoot for the
towards.
Ideals.
Right. But you really have to take it easy on yourself and on others and really think it through. How reasonable is it? And how fair is it? For instance, is it really fair to expect him to be 100% as enthusiastic as you are about Christmas as a whole, or the holidays as a whole, or your family as a whole, right? I remember as a young wife being really shocked that you didn't want to be with my family as much as I want to be with my family. I couldn't understand
really?
It. Yeah. And even today, even today, I feel that way a little bit when we're hanging out with my parents in particular or family. I just feel this little bit of that you're holding back just a little.
Yeah. Well.
And we've been married 41 years. right?
Yeah.
So it's not reasonable of me to think that you're going to feel the same way about my family as I do.
And if as a individual, but here you're talking to the wives, you put all that pressure and expectation on the event.
Yes, you're setting everyone up for disappointment.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen. And then it's, and the walls came tumbling down.
So the point is, as you check your expectations, you got to come to peace with imperfection and with uncertainty, because the holidays, bless their hearts, are so full of stress already and guilt and feelings of obligation. And there's so much pressure for the day to go smoothly and meals to be perfectly timed and for everyone to get along. And all of that, as beautiful as it is, adds undue stress to gathering with our family and our friends, don't you think?
Yeah, and all that is shown in the old cartoon Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which you watched the other night with a grandson. It's true, isn't it? Think about what you just said.
Well, that and a lot of other holiday movies.
That's it.
Including the ones on the Hallmark Channel. I'm sorry, I love the Hallmark Channel, but there's just some really
cheesy.
I would not have used the word, but some representations of these extraordinary, exquisite Christmas settings homes and decorations. And, you know, we kind of internalize all that.
Yeah,
so
right.
We've got to allow the day or the event or the relationships to just unfold naturally and find the little moments that are perfect.
Well,
you know?
I think they unfold unnaturally sometimes.
No,
but
stop it. They're just what comes naturally to people.
Understand.
Let people be themselves and pick up the little moments that are perfect. Because they're going
to
be
Hold on to those.
Yes. We don't have to
focus
have a perfect picture.
Yeah.
The whole big picture.
Yeah.
Right? So anyway, that's my word to the wise wives.
Don't focus on the things that aren't going right. Focus on the little positive things that are
right.
Okay.
I'm at peace with imperfection.
All right.
I'm at peace with uncertainty.
Home.
We're going to break now for just a minute so I can invite you to my free live masterclass, Understanding Your Husband and Sons. In my work with women in over 70 countries, I found that most of us, when it comes to our husbands and sons, think like Carol in Kenya.
I was expecting him to think like me, behave like me.
Or Dana in Idaho.
Shouldn't we just be the same and shouldn't we just agree?
Or Anne in Oregon.
I grew up in a culture where there was a lot of eye rolling and sighing about guys.
And that's too bad, because when we act or react based on false expectations, we end up feeling like Catherine or Farinaz.
I didn't feel I could relate to him, because I didn't understand him.
Thought maybe he had to do something with me, and I was taking it personally.
Or getting riled up like Carol.
Made me mad. It's crazy. It was frustrating, you know?
And acting like Anne.
I used to think he should know what I wanted without me having to ask.
Which just erodes our relationships and blows up our dreams. So that's why I created Understanding Your Husband and Sons, a super fun, eye-popping deep dive into his brain, body, and emotional makeup. Women have been coming from all over the world and coming away from our time together with an exhilarating sense of hope and power, because now women like Amber, Anne, Dana, and Allison understand
how to communicate my needs, you know, how to be clear about it, how not to be run around, how not to manipulate.
The way I communicate with him isn't any more aggressive or threatening to him.
I can see why he's reacting or why he's responding that way.
That's helped to avoid a lot of the hurt feelings that I used to have.
So if, like Jeannie, you're thinking,
okay, I need to reboot how I think about marriage and men and how they're loved,
please join me at this free live masterclass, Understanding Your Husband and Sons. I'll teach you things you have never heard before and that you won't hear anywhere else. Science and strategies that will knock your socks off and make all the difference in your relationships.
And it just changes everything about how I see him.
There's this huge potential that I was not really tapping into because I didn't fully understand it.
I think the biggest piece is this understanding and appreciation.
We're both so much happier now.
And in how you see yourself.
My confidence as a woman has skyrocketed.
We've made it so easy. Just go to wifesavers.org/masterclass and choose a day and time. I'll meet you there and even answer your questions live. Because like Carol in Kenya or Cindy in Argentina, you'll want to be able to say,
"Oh, we are wired differently." And that's the beauty of life.
And it set me free. It allowed me to say, "Okay, I understand now." And I loved him more than ever.
Wifesavers.org/masterclass.
Oh, I recommend it to everyone I meet.
Number two, here's my second word to the wise wives. Talk about it before it happens. Talk to your husband, talk to your children, talk to the family, talk to your mother-in-law, talk to whoever is involved. Anticipate and be proactive. And the reason we're going to talk are twofold. We want to understand what everyone's expectations are.
So you're not saying I'm going to go in and say, this is what is going to happen. This is what I want, or this is what we're going to do.
No. Mom, what's your idea of, you know, what are your actual plans on Christmas Day? We're going to mom's house, for instance. And what's most important to you about it? Or, mom, I don't know if we're going to do everything with everybody over those 4 days. Well, our family has some plans too. Or, mom, mm-hmm. I'd really like to have some time with my honey while we're there. Would it be all right if we left the kids with you for a few days or for a few hours?
We're back on the
Freudian slip. I'd love
it. We're back on January 4th.
We're dropping the kids. Have fun. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so talking about understanding what's important to them, understanding where your husband is coming from, we've already discussing that, but talking to everyone involved, helping your children think ahead and know what to expect and to reiterate the rules, the family rules for the kids. You know, no matter what grandma may say, we're not going to eat this before dinner or, you know, and then mom, I want it to be fun and exciting for the kids to be here. But I really appreciate it if you had them come to me first and ask if it's okay to have the cookies, you know, or whatever. And I'll be the bad guy. You don't have to be, but I would really appreciate that. So discussing your expectations, you know what this really boils down to? Setting boundaries and making plans.
And then
First it's understanding. You want to understand. Then we're going to set some boundaries and then we're going to make plans. And we can't do any of that if we don't talk about it ahead of time.
And then going back to what you said before, once those plans are set, be ready to modify those plans.
Oh, there you go. We're back to being at peace with imperfection.
No battle plan survives encounter with the family.
Right. So you got to be, you're saying, flexible.
Right.
Yeah. So we're going to create plans and then we're going to be flexible with those plans because what is the whole point? It's to avoid frustration. It's to avoid resentment. It's to avoid the holidays draining us instead of solidifying our families, bringing us that refreshment and peace and love.
Creating memories that we're going to look forward to the next time.
Yes. Yes. So here's a plan that I would really recommend if you're going to be with family. Even if it's just your husband and your children, you've got to plan. That means anticipate and be determined to do this for yourself. You've got to have some self-care during the holidays.
Yeah, women, wives and family, go way out.
We are so strung out trying to get... Remember everybody on the list and get everything packaged up and make sure every party is attended or given on and on and on and on, right? We're all aware of that stuff. But I've got to take responsibility for my own happiness and well-being during the day, during the holidays. No question. I've been really bad at that in many a year. And I come out, I start that 40 days or so going into the holidays, before the holidays, with this crazy long list.
Yeah. And you talk about it every once in a while. You go, oh, I want to do this, or I'm going to do that, or this
I'm
is going to happen.
I'm going to make things so perfect for my family and save the world.
Yeah.
In the next 40 days. This is what's going to happen. And I'm usually, in the years I've done that, of course, I'm always disappointed in the end. Mm. And it's hard for me to reconcile what actually good did come of it, right? So I am speaking from experience. I am a recovering holiday
over planner.
Thank you. Over expectations. Over the topper. Yeah. That's me. Absolutely. So I've learned my ways. I don't do that anymore. In fact, what have I done this year?
Well, I was going to bring that up. I was going to say, yeah. I was going to ask you to explain just even last night or the night before, mm-hmm. you know, you were just going through this. You were expressing what you were thinking
right.
about what you were going to do
to the house. Right.
And we got up in the attic and we got down the innumerable bins of Christmas decorations.
We didn't get them all
but
down.
That's my point.
Point.
That's right. No, you were, you went up there and you went.
Limited number of bins.
You did.
And we got a tree that is probably one third the size that we normally get.
Yeah, much smaller. Yeah, we have high ceilings that we can utilize, and we have in the past. This one is on top of a bin.
This one's on top of a couple boxes.
That's right, because we couldn't see it behind the couch. We had to get it up.
And so it's this little teeny tree. So I didn't have room for all my ornaments. Mm-hmm. I could only put my most important ornaments up this year. And it went quick, and it's lovely.
It's beautiful. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. And then I decided that instead of doing some of my most complicated displays.
There's forklifts and 240-volt connections. It's crazy.
I decided what was the most important to me of those decorations, the most meaningful, and those are the only ones I'm going to put out this year. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to fill every windowsill. Every window,
flat surface.
I want to defend myself. I have enjoyed that in the past. I really have.
But oh, yeah.
I took the time this year to really check in with myself. And that's all I'm saying. When I said earlier, check your expectations. Check in with yourself. Check your expectations. And I had to say, will this bring me joy or...
Yeah, why am I doing this?
And I realized what really would bring me joy. And I also anticipated how I was going to feel the day after.
Yes, exactly.
And when I look around everything has to be taken down and put back and cleaned up. Yeah. It's a different Christmas for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I highly recommend it for everyone to just check your own expectations. Make those own. Yeah. All right. So that's all part of the self-care. And part of that self-care I just really want to highlight for a moment is getting away by yourself, having alone time at least once a day where you can, because things get so exciting. And the holidays, yes, they're very exciting to buy and do and all the visuals and everything. But we need spiritual time during the holidays. That's really what it's about for a lot of us. But we forget it. It gets...
Yeah, it gets a little trampled over and
trampled.
Lost.
Exactly. So take a few minutes every morning for some spiritual time. If that's prayer, if that's meditation, if that's reading, if that's yoga, whatever that is for you. And your perspective will get... centered. You'll get centered so you don't feel so triggered by annoyances and disappointments. This is really important. If you're going into a family environment or lots of people environment for multiple days, for instance, that ritual better hold fast.
Yeah, you want 2 hours of yoga before going into that.
Good luck with that. Be reasonable. Be reasonable. Now, if I'm going to take care of me, my next strategy is to also take care of him.
And it's about time with these holiday things. Drive and pay.
Wouldn't you like, as a husband, if you do agree to compromise and to go spend that time with the family, even though, we've discussed all the the reasons you shared with me, the reasons that you might feel a little reluctant or that you would prefer something else, but you do agree it, we're going to do it every other year or something, and mm-hmm. it is your year. Well, then I'm going to be sensitive to that and appreciative of your
the fact that we're doing
sacrifice,
this. Yeah.
Basically. And I'm going to try to help you. I'm going to encourage you actually to do things that make you happy during that time. If that means pursuing some activity.
Does that mean dropping you off at the front door? And
well, no, that means okay. like if you're saying, hey, I'm going to go have a round of golf. We're going to yeah. go see mom and dad in Florida. I'm going to go around out and have a round of golf. I'm not going to go, what? That's going to take 4 hours. We need to be all together all the time. I'm going to let you do that. Mm-hmm. If that means going for a run or a hike or whatever.
Yeah, and I think that's
important.
And you teach this a lot about how guys do need to replenish the testosterone. And,
amen.
And that happens.
That's a real thing.
It is a real, physiological thing. Mm-hmm. But it happens for guys in different ways. And a lot of it is getting out and
doing
changing
physical.
Doing something physical, but doing something different.
Different.
Or for a lot of guys, it means the chair with the,
okay. So I'm going to let him watch
lazy
the football
boy.
Game or
right.
whatever.
Because it's a process that they've got to shut down for a little bit.
Okay.
Before they can then re-engage with the crazy
okay.
uncle.
You know how I see that? Yes, yes, yes. Is a rubber band that goes kind of limp. Mm-hmm. And we want to get that boing back in our rubber band. I want to take back something I just said.
Oh.
That doesn't happen very often.
No. Let me rewind,
dear. You're going to let him watch the football game. I am in no position to let you do something or other. What I meant was that I'm going to
accommodate
you. Yeah. I'm going to do it without, I'm not going to make you feel bad.
Yeah. Right.
About it.
Because then it's like.
So if I'm expecting
it's not worth it to the guys.
We're going back to talking ahead of time. So I've reassured you that this is my intent and that you are going to have all the space that you need. Aren't you going to be a little more willing to go into this environment?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So that when I'm playing Monopoly with the rest of the family, I'm not going, why isn't he here playing Monopoly with us? Or we just finished dinner and he's disappeared. We're having this nice family conversation. I'm embarrassed he's not here.
Probably in the bathroom. if it's right after eating
And I'm going to let you go to the bathroom. You can spend as much time as you want in the bathroom. That's my hiding place, I know.
The other thing that really helps, and you do this well, let's say you're in the environment, you're at the whatever home it is, and the 400 people are there.
Right.
You talk about connecting and reconnecting.
And yes.
To, it's real easy to go, okay, you're Monopoly and I'm football. And yes. for hours,
yes.
there's this separation.
Okay.
But these little connections where we just walk by each other and a little touch or how you doing or a little kiss or something, just to.
Yes, multiple times a day.
Yeah.
Especially in that environment.
Yeah, that should be just
you know
part
what?
Of your
when you do that to
normalcy.
Me, and you're really good at that, actually.
Well, you taught me.
When you do that, I just feel warm. I mean, it sounds cheesy, but I do. I just feel warm. I feel reassured, and I'm assuming you do too. It's like this little private moment that I'm here for you. You're here for me. We're here together. Yes, all these crazies and chaos and mayhem or whatever is going on around us, but all of a sudden there's this quiet center that's just us. And we talk about that in Wife Savers as the castle. And you're part of a community of friends and neighbors and, you're part of a big community, obviously, every day of your lives. But there are the times, and they can be little teeny moments, where the drawbridge is rolled up. And it's just the two of you.
Just
everybody's
everything else
sealed out.
Out
except the two of you. So I love your idea of the little touch, the connection, the reconnection. But you may have an opportunity, you should take the opportunity to get away together.
Yeah,
to
definitely.
Have time away together, especially we got family to watch the kids.
Yeah, yeah. For holidays, for the time, the expanse of the holidays. But I really like this point of when you're in the stressful, potentially stressful situation of being, you know, with everybody,
right.
Which you maybe don't want to be. The little connections that go on throughout that day.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Are. You know, it's not so it's just you and me, babe. We got to get out of this place. You know, I found an opening. Let's go.
You got 20 minutes.
Exactly. Nobody's upstairs right now. Come on. That's true. It just solidifies the whole thing so that this idea of accommodation.
Yeah. It's a kindness.
It is. It kind of built upon and we're going to get through this. You know, it's only 3 more hours.
Thank
honey.
You. Thank you. That is such a good point that sometimes you do have to just kind of endure.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just hunker down and keep your perspective, keep your and reconnecting that way with one another in that genuine way, that authentic way keeps you grounded, keeps mm-hmm. your perspective, keeps your center so that you remember what's really important here, us.
Yep.
And along those lines, we have to be loyal to each other. We have to talk about this ahead of time
mm-hmm.
so that I'm not going to break our trust by breaking your trust while
right.
I'm there.
Right.
And you're not going to do the same either. It's a very confusing environment when you've got family and your spouse that are not seeing eye to eye on something, whatever it is. Because this is an everyday thing for a lot of people. And your husband is in the middle of it. His mother or his sister is saying one thing, and then there's you over here. And you're saying, why are you hesitating? I'm your wife.
Yeah.
Of course you're going to defend me to them. Of mm-hmm. course you're going to stand up. How dare you? I feel betrayed. I hear that a lot. And I try to help my students understand the position that man is in. It is very, very
it's a hard place
confusing
to be. Very hard place to
be. To understand when you've got mother, who's that voice from your past and your whole life that's in your bones, in your cells, saying one thing and your wife saying another. And I would love to give him a straight up talk and a lesson and say, of course you're going to side with her. Of course, you know, because I agree with that wife, but I do sympathize. And
yeah.
I understand right. what hard position, and it may be the same for her. So talking, communicating about these things in advance and really trying to open up, get into each other's hearts will go a long,
yeah,
long way to precipitating the disaster in the making where we're going to walk away from our holiday family time with full of disappointment and resentment towards one another. Blech, that sounds horrible. All right. So those are just some of the ideas. Can I give you a few quick others?
Okay.
That maybe you should do as a couple. We've already talked about setting boundaries.
Yeah.
So that you don't feel, you know, like your holidays got stolen away from you by everyone else's expectations. Brush it off.
Yeah. It's so serious in the moment.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
And it's so much of this is anticipated. And then when something does happen, it's like, see, I told you so. This is why I didn't want to come here. You know, but you drag me out here every single time.
Oh, that's so
true.
And don't you think the holidays bring out the best and the
worst
in people? It's a really it's a really stressful time, like we've already talked about.
Yeah. So
and so when you got family personalities and dynamics mixing together with that, those kind of expectations and stress, it's kind of like a bad cocktail.
Yeah. Yeah.
And somebody's going to get sick and throw up.
He's going to binge. That's
right. Yeah. So just let it go. People say things they don't mean, especially if they've had too much alcohol. We ought to touch on that.
Watch the eggnog, okay?
Seriously, you can't control how much everyone else drinks, but, you know, be careful, especially in a family social setting and it'd be really nice if you and your husband agreed on this together.
Yeah, and if you do know that you're going into a less than perfect situation and that the husband and wife maybe are you know, working towards
you're
making this the right thing.
Trying to make it work.
Don't pour alcohol on the fire.
Bad idea. And then when you go, as you're going into this environment as a couple now, I'm talking about a lot of these strategies we've discussed are for the wife. You know, take care of yourself, take care of your husband, keep your nuclear family traditions intact, you know, take time out for just your family, take time out for just your husband. But this is something you can talk about as a family, setting boundaries, brushing things off, limiting the alcohol, and committing to keeping it positive. You know, try your best to be the agent of positive conversation in the big family setting. Inspire fun conversation, you know. What's one, you know, let's all talk about a time where we this or that. You know, a happy memory from 1963, or you know what I'm saying? So you can be that agent of positive energy in the room.
You know, I'm just going to say, you and I, a couple of months ago, had a sibling reunion.
Yes.
Wasn't a holiday thing, but.
Yes, yes. These things apply across calendar, right?
And so we got together in a place up in the San Juan Islands that, as a child, we had, my three siblings and I, we had not been together there for 54 years.
That was really special.
You know?
Yeah.
And so you think about the memories that existed just being there.
Right.
But what happens, you know, we got into one evening where we had some conversation and memories. And much of it, not all of it, was laughing, happy, jovial thing.
It kind of started out that way.
Yeah.
But then little by little, people started opening their hearts.
Yeah. And saying things, you included, and saying things that, oh, now I'm in this environment. I and all of you were part of this experience that I want to talk about. So here we go.
Or I want your support.
Yeah.
To understand about something I've been dealing with.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And it turned out where it was, you know, there's some very serious emotion and and not all of it was positive between everybody. But what came out of it was a very positive thing.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And it... it allowed
those
us to move forward.
Were strengthened.
They were strengthened. And things that had been churning around and bubbling around in some people have been, you know, the heat's been turned down or maybe even off.
You said some of it wasn't positive. I think it was overwhelmingly positive.
It was overall. I'm just saying
it wasn't
that,
all fun and bubbles.
Yeah, but it was talking about
hard things.
Hard things and things that at the time were not positive and that individuals had held for years, feelings and regret and almost anger. So in that sense, it's not positive,
but,
what I'm saying.
But I want to say something about that. It only happened because we had spent a few days previous having fun.
That's true.
Light experiences.
Right. Yeah.
Fun, light, informational kind of conversation.
Yeah, it didn't start
and
on the first
that,
night.
Right.
Yeah.
So no one forced that to happen.
Right.
And that's why I'm saying don't get sucked in to by the pessimist or the controller or the loudmouth into some kind of highly charged negative interaction. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Don't let that happen. You be the agent of positive. So I do think that in the situation you're describing, it was positive, even though you say it was. Some of it was not
born out
comfortable
of. Yeah.
necessarily,
yeah.
but it, there was an atmosphere of love
yes.
and acceptance and safety that had been established over many days of light, happy, good times.
Yeah, good. I totally agree. Totally agree.
And in that line, in that vein, let's just try to enjoy ourselves. You know, you and your husband, make that determination together. Like you said, it might not turn out perfectly, but we're okay. We're at peace with imperfection. We're at peace with uncertainty. Hum with me. There we go.
Okay.
And as crazy as your family can feel, I'll bet you if you looked at another family up close and personal in the same situation, you'd be grateful.
Yeah, you'd be bring them back.
For
let's
your
let's do this again tomorrow
family.
Night. Yeah,
exactly.
That's right.
That they you need your family, no matter how, your history or your craziness. When you start hearing "I'll be home for Christmas," you know, there's something that there's this little thing in your throat that says, I need my family, even with all their craziness. So try and look for the positive in them during the brief times you have together over the holidays. The only thing you can control, you can't control them and you can't change them. Never going to do that. Let me say that again. You can't control them and you can't change them. They may be stupid. They may be weak. They may be disappointing. They may be, well, you name it.
Yeah. Vindictive.
That's what you got.
Yeah.
That is what you've got. That is your family. And if you can just get through it and appreciate and the positives, grab a hold of those perfect moments, if you will.
Yeah, and I think what we're really talking about is not just enduring.
No,
right.
No, but well, through some, these things, some of it may need to be endured here and there is what I'm saying.
No, but
what we want, what we really want, and I think what you're saying, is we want you to come back to love.
Right.
Come back to accommodating, that kindness, that eager willingness to make someone's burden a little lighter or a little time a little happier. And I know it sounds a little Pollyanny, but it's true.
Pollyanny?
Yes.
Pollyannish.
I told you I make up words and okay. I hadn't made one up this podcast. I had to keep my reputation going. And it's only a few days. It's only a few hours. We can stay centered. We can come back to love. We can work together. We can default to respect instead of irritation. We can start out by understanding. It really comes back to those conversations in the very beginning. They're at proactive and anticipatory, and then we're in a much better position. So I hope that all of these ideas, which were kind of a mishmash, lots of amazing ideas came out of that conversation, that will strengthen your marriage, enliven your marriage, stay focused, stay centered on you and your husband. You're the center of the wheel. You can keep the rest of the family, all the other spokes, a little more balanced if you remember, stay true to that center.
So Ramona, the talk around town is about some sort of masterclass that you've got going? Is that what I'm hearing on the underground?
And I know you don't like the part about the emotional underbelly.
Yeah, that kind of feels like I'm getting ripped open like a fish.
Well, you kind of are, but it really opens women's eyes, and I think they're going to love it. All they have to do is go to wifesavers.org/masterclass.
Home is with you wherever that may be.